Acts chapter 3, if you want to stand, reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, even though I know you know this story. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate at the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man walk?" May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated tonight. As you look at this portion of Scripture, tonight I want to focus on one word that is in verse number 1. And that's the word together. Together. And I'm going to preach to you tonight on this idea as a title, "When God's People Come Together." And tonight we've got several churches that are represented, but we've come together. We've come together for one purpose, as Brother Joel has already said, to focus on Jesus. It's not about my church. It's not about freedom. Amen. It's not about McKinney Cove or Beaver Creek. It's about Jesus. Amen. Because the truth of it is tonight that one day the trumpet's going to sound.
Amen.
All of us that are saved by His grace, whether we're in the grave or whether we're still standing on the ground, are all going to be caught up together. And the bride's going to come together with the bridegroom and that great reunion day. And we are going to be in heaven forever. And we're going to be there, and guess what we're going to do? Worship.
Amen.
We're going to come together for the purpose of focusing on Jesus Christ. And so we might as well get practice in down here.
Amen.
Amen. There's no need in you and I thinking that I've got to meet up. Because I'm telling you, I read the book. And it tells me there's going to be a street of gold. And I believe on that street there's only going to be one place to meet and worship. Amen. We can't get fuzzed up at one another and start First Baptist to the street of gold. And then get fuzzed up again and go up Glory Boulevard and start Glory Baptist Church. We're going to be together and we're going to be worshiping together. Amen. You with me? Now as I study this, there's some things I want to point out tonight. As you look at this, I believe if you read chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's different people that come to church. Now, some of you may get your feelings hurt. Brother Cass said, "Lay it on us."
Amen.
So I got permission by the pastor of this church to pull both barrels. Amen.
Amen.
And the reason we only sung 3 songs is because I'm long-winded. So there you go. You're in for the big lick tonight. But when you read chapter 3 and chapter 4, I believe especially in chapter 3, we see some what I'm going to call carrying men. The Bible says that this lame man was carried daily and laid to beg. I'm glad that there's some people that'll carry me when I'm unable to the presence of the Lord. Aren't you? That when I'm broke and I'm burdened, that I can say, "Will you please
call my name out to the Lord? Will you carry me into His presence with prayer and supplication? Will you intercede for me as I go through this? I see some carrying men. I see the crippled man. The Bible says he was lame and lay to begging. He was poor and he was paralyzed. There's many that we go by daily as we come to church and as we go to work that are crippled in their life. They may not be physically crippled, but they don't have a leg to stand on spiritually. And it's up to you and I to carry them to the presence of an Almighty God and to carry them to them, the gospel, as we go forward. I see the crippled man. I see Christian men. Peter and John going to pray. Ain't that what Christians are supposed to do? Going to the church house. Isn't that what Christians are supposed to do?
Amen.
I don't advocate social media often, but it's a discouragement to a pastor sometimes. Some of the folks that on Sunday, the FBI couldn't find them, but Facebook, it's plastered all over it where they are. And then they'll send you a message, "Preacher, will you pray for me? I'm struggling." Get in the house of God.
Amen.
Get under the preaching of the man of God and the Word of God, and you'll find help. Amen? But I'll get off that soapbox. But there was Christian men, Peter and John. They came to pray and they came to worship. And when they got there, there was a life that was changed because they went to the church house. I want to say this too. If you get on after the verses I read and into chapter 4, they some critical men. They got to being critical of what Peter and John were doing. Some of them come running out to Solomon's porch and wanted to know what was going on. And Peter said, "Why marvel you at this? You've always seen it when Jesus was alive. You was critical of Him too." Hey, men of God that are in here, Brandon, Todd, Cass, I've come to the realization in my ministry, no matter what you do, people are going to be critical of us in the ministry. Amen? Church people, let me tell you something. These people are going to be critical of your church because you do. I had a man tell me one time, he said, "I don't believe in Bible school." Well, good. Send your children to my church. We like it at my church. We had over 100 that were attending in our Bible school, had 4 salvations, 10 salvations here. Hey, I believe if it's done right with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's a great tool to reach people. And if you want to scoff at it, scoff at it. We're going to use it for the glory of God where I'm from.
Amen.
There's critical people. They're everywhere. They don't like the hymns that you picked out. If you didn't like the ones we sung tonight, you need to get saved and get right with God. If you don't like having a little talk with Jesus, there was a young lady, Caitlin, I'm going to call her out. She said, "Man, that second song we sung this morning, I like it." And I said, "Just a little talk with Jesus?" She said, "Yeah, it's got a catchy tune to it. I really like it." Don't know if she'd ever heard it before this morning. But hey, listen, I'm glad it works, don't you? Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I'm glad I've got a mansion just over yonder in the glory land. And I'm glad I've got victory to live in while I'm working through this land. Amen. It's a good thing when people come to worship, but people get critical. And when we find this story tonight, Peter and John come together. Now I want to share something with you. The word "together" is used 32 times in 31 verses in the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Acts, we find the building block of the church. God was using the disciples, the apostles, to build what He told Peter the gates of hell could not and would not prevail against. And in 31 verses, 32 times, the word "together" is used. Now, you say, "Preacher, Acts is a big book." It is. But a word used 32 times, I need to pay attention to.
Amen.
Now, the word "together," according, now it's different. It's used differently in the Greek throughout the book of Acts. But in Noah Webster's dictionary, 1828 edition, here's what "together" means: in union, in company, the same. Now, with that last definition, I want to tell you something.
Unity is not uniformity. Amen? Brandon, Todd, Cash, stand up. Do we all look the same? I know me and Brandon wore the same shirt, but he just wants to copy me every time we get together. But do we look the same? Do we pastor the same church? Did we come from the same background? Do we have the same outlook on life?
That's right.
Our perspective's different. We have different things in our life. Men can sit down. But let me tell you something. Tonight, the four of us, if Brother Tully was here, I believe I can speak for him. We're in unity when it comes to Jesus.
Amen.
We're in unity when it means that we have to believe in the virgin birth.
That's right.
In unity when it means that we have a sinless Savior who died a sacrificial death on a sacrificial cross.
That's right.
But that's not the end. And He got up victorious on that resurrection Sunday and gave us the victory. And He's now sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession. You boys agree with me?
Amen.
I still believe we ought to preach the book. Amen. Can I say that? Did not hurt anybody's feelings? Don't bring a bunch of junk in here.
Amen.
The best self-help book ever written was the Bible, and it tells me I'm worthless without Jesus, but with Him, I'm worth something.
Amen.
It tells me I can't do anything without Him, but with Him, all things are possible.
Amen.
It tells me I'm weak, and I ain't got enough strength to carry on, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I don't need none of this other stuff. Amen. I just need the Word preached. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to stop right there, even though I kind of like to say a little bit more about that. Some folks want to bicker about that. Just preach the Word and sit down. Amen? Stay in the book and stick with the book and live what's in the book and everything will be all right.
That's right.
Amen? That's not. I heard a man saying, I will be dead. I'm going to walk all over it, Cap. I heard a preacher tell me one time that the devil's trying to use the Word of God to stop the work of God.
You're right.
People would rather fuss over the Bible than to fight for it. Amen?
You're right.
We need to just get in the book and stay in the book. That's where I believe. So unity is not uniformity. But we do have to be together. I believe it was one of the founding church fathers made this. In essentials, let there be unity. In non-essentials, let there be liberty. But in all things, let there be charity. That's exactly what we need. Amen? We may not necessarily agree. Listen, if we all agree, I had a man tell me one time, he said if we all drove this red car, what would we be? And he said, a one red car nation. And it was a flower joke. I was a boy. I didn't get it at first. But if we were all, if it was about uniformity, we'd all have to wear the same outfits, have to have the same haircuts. God didn't make very many pretty bald heads. Amen? I mean, mine looks like a cue ball most of the time when it's shaved. We'd have to drive the same vehicles. There's some in my church that they would just about walk out of church if I told them they had to drive a Ford. But it's not. Yes, I knew I'd get an amen right there. But you see what I'm saying? That if we will be willing to disagree on some things and still come together on what's important,
yes,
things can happen in the body of Christ.
Amen.
When it becomes about my preference and what I prefer and what I like, then things are going to start going downhill. But when I stay with what's essential in the Word of God, then let me tell you something, God will bless it. Amen. You with me? I got permission to preach this. You with me? So what happens when God's people come together? Let me share this little part with you. They didn't just come together nonchalant. Let's just go to the church house. Peter and John went together. They said they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Let me share this with you. They went at the appropriate time. It wasn't coincidence that this crippled man was laid by the gate right before Peter and John come by. God has got divine intervention in mine and in your life. Think about the night you got saved, Christian. You were there at the right time. Amen?
And the man of God preached the right message at the right time. And when he did, God began to stir in your heart. Good Holy Ghost conviction fell. You felt Jesus knock on the door of your heart. And he said, let me in. And before you left, guess what? You were saved. I've told it before. When I walked into that room that night to get saved, all I knew was that I would go to hell if I died after that night. And when I walked out, the only thing I knew was that I was glory bound because Jesus died on the cross for me. And I asked him to save me. Glory. Hallelujah. There's a little girl that got saved in our Bible school Thursday night. And when she come up to me, she said, I want to tell you something. I'm not much on church. I've not raised in church. My grandmother don't take me to church. But she said, I've come to Bible school and I want to be saved. And I said, what makes you think you want to be saved? She said, I believe in God and I love Jesus. And you told me that if I wanted a relationship with Him, I need to be saved. So tell me what to do, preacher. And she got saved Thursday night. And when she hugged me today, she said, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for teaching me about Jesus. And I went home. Her grandmother's raising her. She said, I went home and told my grandmother, when we go back home to Florida, let's find us a church that'll tell us about Jesus. And let's start going to church, Grandma. Hallelujah unto God. The appropriate time. This young girl is visiting friends in Spruce Pine, North Carolina, about this time of the year. And those friends come to Bible school. I'm glad we had Bible school. I'm glad that fellow that got pooch slipped about Bible school didn't come to my church, amen? Because we might not have had it. It's the appropriate time. At the appointed time, they come to get it. The Bible says it was about the ninth hour. It was the hour of prayer. There's the appointed time to be in church. Freedom Baptist Church takes up 6 o'clock on Sunday evening, 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, 6:30 on Wednesday evening. 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, preaching. 9:30 for Sunday school, 10 o'clock Sunday school. 10 o'clock Sunday school. I can't remember now what time my church starts. But there's an appointed time, amen? At Beaver Creek, McKinney Cove, there's an appointed time when we're supposed to come together to worship. I was wondering, where you at, ma'am, that led the choir? Raise your hand. I've seen you go somewhere. I see you back there. I was wondering, Lord, do you really want me to preach this tonight? And you met brethren, we have met to worship. I'm glad there's an appointed time every week, aren't you, that I can come together. I might have to fight hell by the acre through the rest of the week, but I'm glad that there's at least 3 times a week that's appointed that I can come to the church house. I can meet with the saints of God. I can meet with the Savior that has saved my soul. And I can have a good time at the appointed time. And I can pray and I can hear preaching. Hallelujah unto God. There's an appointed time to come again.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I believe there was also an anointed time. About the ninth hour. Now, if you turn back to the Gospels, wasn't it about the ninth hour that our Savior was on the cross? Wasn't it about the ninth hour that He gave up the ghost and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, it is finished. And wasn't it about the ninth hour that the great big old hand of God reached down into the temple in Jerusalem where those priests were ministering? And there was a great big curtain, if I'm not mistaken, was several inches thick. And God reached down and He rent it from top to bottom.
Amen.
And if you will, I believe God the Father was saying, now come boldly to the throne of grace.
That's right.
Where you can obtain mercy and find grace in your time of need. I'm glad there's been some times in my life, boys, ain't you?
Yeah.
Where the anointing of God's failed. And I've been listening to preaching, or I've been a preaching. And the anointing come down and God move and lives get changed, mine included.
Amen.
They came at the appropriate time, at the appointed time, and they came at the anointed time. When God said, come to the throne of grace. All that's introduction.
And I'm not joking. Now I want us to look here at what happens when we come together. When we come together to worship, when we come together in each other's company, when we unite one with another,
churches come together, I want us to look at what happens when God's people come together. Number one, our lives are changed. Peter and John, the crippled man, and all that witnessed it. Peter and John first. Now you think about this for just a moment, fellas. Peter had preached at Pentecost. Thousands had gotten saved, chapter 2. Many were added to the church. Won't a Baptist church, because later on in those verses in chapter 2 it says they sold their goods so that ministry could be done. Amen? Not Baptist, Sam. What's mine's mine, what's yours is mine. That's most of the time, that's our attitude, isn't it? Now, I'm saying that across the board. Don't get fussed up at me yet. I'm not done. But Peter and John had seen God move. Many had come together at that day of Pentecost. And when they began to preach and when Peter began to speak, the Bible says every man heard in his own language because they spoke in tongues. They didn't speak gibberish nobody could understand. They spoke in a language and every man heard and understood in his own tongue and got pricked in their heart and many got saved, about 3,000. But now as I read this, boys, this is the first healing that took place. Peter and John were just going to pray. And there was a little lame man. Had his hand out, possibly his cup, begging for something. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what John did. But Peter was always boisterous. Amen? The Bible says that Peter looked at him and said, "Look on us." I wonder what John thought. "I ain't got no money. You're on your own, Peter. I don't have nothing in my pocket. There ain't nothing in my shawl, buddy. I don't have it." And then he reached out his hand and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And as he reached down, that lame man looking up, wondering, "All right, what's he giving me? I don't see no dollar bill." Wadded up in that hand, shaking, and all of a sudden he pulled him up. Don't you think it strengthened their faith? As the leadership of the Holy Ghost began to tell Peter, "Make that man walk." I mean, I don't know. I'm reading between the lines, if you will, a little divine imagination going on when I read this. But I wonder if Peter thought, "Hey, listen, I reached up a hand to him one day. Maybe he'll help me tonight." As that man's reaching his hand, he says, "What are you talking about? Matthew chapter 14. I believe it's Matthew chapter 14. The Bible says that they're on the ship and the boat's about to go under. And as they're about to go under, they see one coming that they think's a ghost. And they holler out. And Jesus said, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.' And Peter said, 'Lord, if it's you, bid me come.' And Jesus gives him this great dissertation on how to walk on water. Come." And Peter steps out of the boat and walks towards Jesus. But then he gets to looking at the storm. Isn't that just like us Christians?
Right. Yes,
we get to looking at the wind, the waves, and the rain coming down and begin to think we're going under. Let me tell you something while I'm right here. It doesn't matter what goes on in Washington, D.C. It don't matter who's in the White House. I know who's on the throne. It doesn't matter what they decide in the courthouses. I know what the judge of judges is already decided and declared and decreed. I believe we're going to be all right because I believe that he's not going to save his bride, cleanse his bride, sanctify his bride daily with the washing of the word, and then put his bride through hell. I believe it will get out. We'll get out before it gets too bad.
That's right.
Amen?
It is right.
Now that right there, you may disagree with me on, that's all right. I fall asleep at night with a piece of my heart about it. But old Peter began to look around and began to sink. And as he went down, two-word prayer, "Save me." And as he was going down into the depths of the sea, Almighty Jesus reached down his hand to a poor, helpless Peter and pulled him up. And the Bible says they both got back in the boat. Boys, I wonder how he got back. Have you ever thought about it? Did Jesus carry you? Or did he walk on water back in the boat? I don't know. But either way, it had to have been magnificent, wouldn't it? And I wonder if old Peter, as he looked and he saw that poor man, lame, sitting there by the temple gate, if he thought, "He's got his hand up." And he
he's a begging for help, just like I was. He reached down and picked him up. I believe Peter and John's lives was changed. Of course, the crippled man's life was changed. I mean, from his mother's womb, he had been unable to walk. Now all of a sudden, strength fell in his legs and his ankle bones. And he began to leap. He didn't totter around. The Bible says he began to leap. He stood. And then he began to leap, walking and appraising God. I'll get into that in just a minute. But his life was forevermore changed. No more has somebody got to pick me up and carry me and set me down beside the temple gate. No more have I got to beg alms. I can work. I can go. I can do. His life was forevermore changed. Why? Because God's people come again. All that witnessed their life was changed. What's going on here? Right ready towards the end. They began to question and wonder, what's this man, what's happened? What's going on here? When they witness God's people come together, it changes something. The first year we done the Bible school at Walnut Avenue Apartments, there was a man, he said he was going to do all kinds of stuff. You boys know who I'm talking about. I'm going to call the Freedom From Religion folks. I said, call them. I ain't got nothing when they come, I'll have nothing when they leave. It ain't going to make no matter to me. Amen? He said, I don't believe in that junk. I don't want any part of that junk. Well, that's fine. But we're going to feed you anyway. Here's the statement that he made to me by the end of the week. He said, there's something to church people. Loving and coming together. Has he ever asked Jesus into his heart? No. This past week, Bible school. I said, you want to come to Bible school? No, I don't want to be a part of no Bible school. Well, good. I'm like Tiny Tim and Ebenezer. God bless you, everyone. That's not going to stop my attitude. It's not going to stop what I say to him. I mean, listen, I'm going to keep right on plugging along. Why? He don't believe, but that's all right. It ain't going to waver me none. I had an experience with Jesus that I've not got over yet, and it changed me forever. And if he sees God's people coming together, living changed lives in a cruel, heartless world, but living different, then it might make a difference one of these days.
Amen.
People. When God's people come together, our lives are changed. When God's people come together, our lameness is cured. Number two. He reached down and he picked him up, and immediately that lame man was no longer lame. Let me tell you something. It would be nigh an impossibility. Kim Sutton knows because she puts a lot of this stuff together. It would be almost an impossibility for one church to do Bible school like we're doing next week. But guess what happens when God's people come in? Let me tell you something happened in my life, in my household, because God's people come together. I got to kneel down and hear my baby girl ask Jesus to save her soul last year and got to baptize her up there in that parking lot. And listen, she grins when people say, where were you saved and baptized? At the Walnut Avenue Apartments, and I was baptized in a septic tank. You ought to see people's look on that thing. But you know what happened? I mean, to make that baptism take place, Burleson Plumbing gave us that brand new, unused, perfectly clean septic tank. And I made some phone calls, and a man called me, and he said, I'm on the fire department. We're just leaving a call. I've got the water truck. Where do I need to come? We'll fill it up. And 400 gallons of water, shoom, put down in it. Why? Because God's people come together.
Amen.
I told that man when he dumped that water in there what was going on. He said, that is amazing. The guy that actually, the company that makes the septic tank said, can I have a picture of it? Sure. Why? He said, because they've been used for a lot of things, but I don't know if they've been used for a baptismal pool. Hey, listen, you said, what was that? I don't know if that man was saved or not, Cass. I don't know if he was a Christian or not, but it sure must have made an impact when a preacher come and sat out in a tank that I can baptize some folks in, and his company's septic tank was donated and loaded on in the trailer, strapped down, and down the road it went. You see, that's what happens when God's people come together. Lameness is cured. This man was poor and he was paralyzed. But when God's people come together, there's a difference, man. Now, let's just not talk about different churches, but let's talk about a congregation that comes together. Has your church got somebody that's lost that lives close to the church? There might be. Now, yous were quiet.
Bless him.
Is there somebody lost that lives close to the church?
Amen.
Obviously, there is. 15,000 in Mitchell County, 12,000 of them not in church today. That only means that there was 3,000 of them in church. If that's the statistic that I hear often and use often, then that means there's 12,000 people unaccounted for in the house of God. And I would venture to say most of them are lost and undone without Jesus Christ. And if we were to come together, your church, start praying for that lost person. That lameness has been cured. Say, how do you know? It fall under such conviction, they'd either have to get right with God or they'd have to get right on out of where the steeple is casting a shadow on their house, and they'd have to get away from it. Say, how do you know? Because I was one of them, wasn't you?
You're
somebody right. Was a praying for my salvation. Somebody was a praying that I'd get right with God. And when they come together, God began to move. It was a revival service on a Thursday night when I got saved. Everybody else had left and there was just a few left. It's amazing what happens when church is over then. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, the other week we had one saved while the group that was singing was just singing a song that they didn't sing during the service just for the fun of it. This young girl come and got saved. And then when we was fixing to leave and go to the house, there's a young girl come back and got saved in the parking lot. Amen? Oh, you see what happens when God's people comes together and language is cured. Can I say this to you tonight? Our country, as much as I'm a red-blooded American, we're awful lame right now, aren't we? I'm not a politician. I'm glad God called me to be a preacher. Amen? I'm not saying I got it easier, but I sure would not want to be in that mess, would you? I got my own mess to have to deal with. Amen, boys? But our country is not like it used to be. Things are not like they used to be. Brandon, we've only been out of school for a short time, and things aren't like they used to be right around in our county. Things are different than they used to be. Things are a whole lot worse than what they used to be. And I believe if God's people had come together, there'd be some lameness that'd be cured by the power of the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
See, Peter, when he reached out, he didn't say, now me and John's been talking about it. I don't even read in chapter 3 right there where they had a committee meeting about reaching out to that man. You?
Yeah.
They just saw the need, and Peter reached out. Y'all still with me, or I wore you out on me?
Bless you, brother preach.
And when they come together, that lame man, begging, poor, paralyzed, unable, weak, couldn't do anything on his own, and he reached down and plucked him up, and guess what? His life was changed. When he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. When we come together in the name of Jesus, things are going to be changed. A difference will be made in the lives of people. And I believe with all that's in me, lameness will be cured. And I want to be honest with you. We need each other. We need each other. We don't need to fight again one another. Amen? I mean, there was 4 saved at my church this past week and 10 saved at yours the week before. Cass, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I ain't jealous of you being old pal and tickled to death. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Would I like 10 to been saved? I'd like for 1,000 to have been saved. Amen? I mean, I would. But God saw fit for 4 to get right. Praise His holy name for the 4 that got in and for the rest of them that the seed got sown in their life. 10 got saved here. Praise His name.
Amen.
I'm not jealous. The fact of the matter of it is, we need to work together. Because let's just face it, despite what some may believe, this county's too big for one church to take care of by itself. There's too many people. If I was to bring together the Building and Grounds Committee of Mount Carmel and say, boys, we got to fit 12,000 on this little hillside. Where do you want to start breaking ground? I'd have to come live with Cass.
Amen.
Or my horse trailer one. It's to be, we need to come together to fix what's wrong. He said, preacher, how can we make a difference? You show me in that Bible you carried into this church house tonight when Jesus was proclaimed and when Jesus was taught and when Jesus was lifted up that a difference wasn't made.
You're right, man. You preach. Amen.
You tell me the city that Paul and Peter went in and they proclaimed Jesus that a difference wasn't made. Oh, they felt persecution. They faced people being critical. Chapter 4, them boys just thrown in jail for what they did. I mean, you'd have thought, in all honesty, that critical crowd of religious nuts would have been tickled to death that ornament that was out there hanging around the beautiful gate was gone. But instead, they got mad. Brought them to the leaders and said, throw them boys in jail. They're starting a riot. I like a good Jesus ride, don't you? I mean, when he gets to moving in the midst, I sometimes get beside myself, don't you? Yeah. I like to hoot and holler and tell people about Jesus. I like to get excited about my Savior. Why? He got excited enough about me that he left the portals of glory. He walked on this sinful earth. He walked up a hill called Calvary. And when he could have said, I'm done, he said, Father, forgive him. But they know not what they
do.
I said, preacher, does that you think he was excited? Oh, I believe so. Our lives are changed. Our lameness is cured. Our Lord is celebrated. The Bible tells me, if I'm not right, correct. The Bible tells us that the Lord inhabits the praise of his people. Isn't that what the psalmist said? And when we come together and we sing together and we worship together, listen, it's a good old celebration of Jesus. Amen. How many of you, Brandon, I know you probably remember. You remember the, Joe, you remember the, Cass, you remember at the high school when, well, you boys is done gone. Hell, pal. Brandon, you remember the Celebrate Jesus crusades we had?
Amen.
I never will forget. I guess we were juniors or seniors, probably seniors. We had a big choir, a youth choir, and we sung. I bowed on my knees and cried, holy. All I can remember was standing in that group cast and seeing a fog around that Mitchell High School football stadium. When the man of God got done preaching that night, he opened up the invitation and there was kids, young'uns, lined up out there on the football field. And they, listen, some missionaries, some preachers, God was a moving in the lives of people. You talk about celebrating something worth celebrating. Amen? Now racing season comes around, we'll hoot and holler for number 88. Is he 88 still? Hallelujah. When football season starts, we'll be diehard Cowboys or Redskins or Bear fans. Baseball season, when our team wins a World Series, we'll hoop and holler and get excited about it. It's funny to me that people, now listen, I'm not dogging sports. Don't anybody take home. Now I'm being mean about some things. But when we can celebrate something worth celebrating, we're quiet. Amen. But when we get around a place that's not going to matter, we'll hoot, we'll holler all we can. But when Jesus saves a soul, we'll say, well, I hope they got it.
That's right.
Tell me I'm wrong.
You're right, brother.
But when we come together, our Lord is celebrated. Amen. Say, preacher, how do you know? Because the Bible says that the man stood walking. The word walking means that he literally made progress. Isn't that what Jesus wants us to do? To grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To go forward with Him. I mean, nowhere in Ephesians 6 does anything say that anything covers our backside with the armor. Amen? And it doesn't tell me to fight back it up neither. Amen? But it tells me to go forward for the cause of Jesus Christ. He began to walk. He began to make progress. The Hebrew word means to live. I've lived on both sides of the fence, haven't you? And can I say life's a whole lot sweeter with Jesus?
Amen.
Life's a whole lot sweeter being able to lay my head down at night and know that if I didn't wait before the morning sun come up, that in His presence I would be. It's a wonderful thing to know that my eternity's taken care of. Amen? It's a wonderful thing for me to know that I don't have to work for my salvation, but I get to work out of my salvation. Amen? I don't preach so that I can be saved. I preach because I am saved. Amen? I'm alive and I'm a living not so that I can be saved, but because I am saved by His marvelous grace. And Jesus said, I came to give them life and life more abundant. This man began to live, walking, leaping. The word leaping literally means that he leapt up and down. He was running and jumping. It has a definition with it, to gush up like water. You can always tell a new Christian, can't you? It's a gushing forth out of it. Us old sour Christians, we'll sit around and we'll say, bless me if you can. Amen? We'll sit around like a Missouri Mule eating sour hearts. But a young Christian who God's just fresh to, listen, I don't ever want to lose that to you. Sometimes I'll go down the road, and you do it too if you'll think about it for a minute. And you'll get to thinking about where you'd be had it not been for Jesus. Think about where you possibly could have ended up had the man of God not preached the message that night and pricked your heart and people not been obedient. And listen, it'll start gushing up in you. Don't put a cap on it. Let it flow in your life. Amen. Jesus said, I'll make him like a well of water. Spring it up in. I believe the world needs to see some more gushing Christian and not some more blushing Christians. Amen. And then the last word, he said that he was praising God. It means that he sang praises, extolled the Lord. Oh, what does it do when we praise our Lord? Today, when we had our baptism down by the river, there was a man, an adult man, got baptized today. And about 2 weeks ago, he come to me. I went to his house. I went to see him. And make a long story short, standing outside his barn, he said, it's time to lay the old man down. It's time to do what's right. And I said, well, I'm glad you want to be baptized, brother, but let me ask you something. Have you ever been saved? And he said, yes, I've asked the Lord to forgive me my sins. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he's the only way to heaven. But I've never made it public. And this morning in our church, he made it public.
Amen.
Night today in that river, about 2 o'clock, I got to baptize in that river as he declared his faith in Jesus openly before a congregation. And I believe the sweetest part of that day, one of them, was when his little mama raised her hand. And said, I'm glad now I know. Because I prayed with her and that man's daddy. And he would say, I just don't know if he's saved. I just don't know if he's saved. Pray, preacher, that I can know before I die, my boy is saved. And today, he made it public. And his mama said, I just want to thank the Lord for knowing that my son has been saved. Let me tell you something, folks. When we come together, we celebrate our Lord, we can't help but praise Him. And when we praise Him, we can't help but celebrate. And when you praise Him, it might excite somebody back here. And then on back. Hey, listen, praise is contagious. Amen?
Yes, it is, man.
If we just let it gush up in our lives. All right, we've looked at our lives have changed. Our lameness is cured. Our Lord is celebrating. And then I'm done with this one. The lost are contacted. You see, when these men, they come running out on the porch and they say, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Peter said, what do you mean, what's going on? You read on down through there, and he was able to proclaim the gospel all of those that preached Jesus. When you come together as a church, people are going to want to know what's going on. When you leave out of here, talking about the good things God's doing and not the things that the devil's doing to try to stop it. Isn't that what we do most times as church members and pastors and leaders inside the church? Walk out and talk about what the devil's doing and disregard, not necessarily on purpose, but disregard what God's doing. Souls that are being touched with the gospel when we come together. But we'd rather talk about what Satan's doing. Listen. It's a given fact he's a lion seeking whom he may devour. It's a given fact he's a deceiver. He is deceitful. It's a given fact that he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But it's up to you and I to understand that Revelation 12, I believe it's verse 11 or maybe verse 12, is still true. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Glory, hallelujah. By the word of their testimony, hallelujah. Testify and tell what God's doing in your life. And they loved not their life even to the end. I believe that's still true, don't you?
Yes,
blood of the Lamb will overcome anything. The lost are touched. At least we get their attention when we come together. But are we really together? We done right here. Seriously. I say that seriously because I like to close 4 or 5 times. Seriously. Here's the truth. I believe, number one, we need to come together as Christians. Mom and Dad, build a Christian home. Give your children something at home that points them to Jesus. I believe we need to come together as Christians and build Christian homes and make a difference. I believe we need to come together as a congregation. There's too much division inside the church house. People getting their feelings hurt over junk. People dividing over junk. People leaving over junk. I could care less what color the carpet is, could you? I could care less what kind of toilet paper is in the bathroom, could you? Maybe not, they wasn't an amen right there. Men alone right there. I could care less, listen, I could care less about preferences. We need to come together as a congregation and we need to understand that only together can we make a difference.
Right. That's
good. If we are divided, God will not bless a mess.
Right.
From beginning to end, He will not bless a mess. But if we come together as a congregation, Psalm 133, verse 1. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. Good and pleasant, good means valuable. Pleasant means lovely. Just a short definition. Isn't it great to come into a church where the people are in unity? When you can begin to be a part of a congregation and people not say, watch out for that over there. Won't you sit with me? You don't need to sit over there. But can I even say, I understand the center aisle for weddings and all of that kind of pizzazz and stuff that needs to happen. But I mean, even our churches are built for division. Amen. You're going to sit on the left or sit on the right. Sit in the front or sit in the back. This side likes the back, and this side likes the front. But what would happen when we come together? Let me tell you something. 3 years ago, when I scheduled Mount Carmel Baptist Church my birthday, I knew we'll forget that Sunday night to do this type of sweep along in that new apartment. I've been talking to some of the UCAS and Adam and some of them about it. I've been talking to some people about it, but I hadn't shared it with Mount Carmel yet. While I was sharing that burden with tears coming down my face, the people of Mount Carmel began to grab me by the hands in the altar and come around the front of that church. And as a pastor, that meant more to me than anything. And member after member walked by me that evening, you lead us and we'll follow. We're behind you. A man of God who for some years, me and him had kind of had a touch and go relationship. I knew if I touched him, he'd go. Come by me and you hugged me and whispered in my ear, I believe in what you're doing. You keep leading us through leadership of the Holy Spirit like this and God's going to move and God's going to bless. I'm behind you. I could have walked on clouds that night when the congregation comes together And then tonight, what can happen when the church is coming.
Right.
I believe this, church, with all of my heart, we're all in the same field. God's just assigned us to a different road to work on. And if you would work on your road and I'd work on my road, guess what? The field would get finished. I believe that. And if you need a little help over there on yours, and I need a little help on mine, if we'd come together occasionally and work together, oh, there's no telling what might happen. God would move and work in our midst. Oh, for God's people to come together. Matthew chapter 12, I believe it's verse 25.
Matthew 12:25. And Jesus said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Listen, we've got four churches represented here tonight, right? What would happen if these four, these 30-something in our association, right? What if we were to branch this? I mean, what if it was to grow to where all the churches wanted to come together? And not get jealous over who's preaching and who's not preaching. Who's is singing and who's not singing. And us come together and just want to worship an almighty Savior named Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Something happened. Lameness would get cured. Lives would be changed. The Lord would be celebrated and the lost would be contacted. If we come together like the Bible says we should.